Fun little episode here. We had this one recorded back in the fall, and we just never had a place to put it. So it's baseball season. The Iowa Hawkeye baseball team is off and running, and we have two baseball episodes back-to-back for you. This first one with Ben Wilmus. Grant, Gary, G-Bone, G-String, the intern, took this one solo, the one-on-one interview. Please enjoy this episode. It's a good one. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Okay, we're now joined by Iowa baseball stud. It's Ben Wilmus. Ben, thank you for joining. But Ben, we're super excited to talk to you today. Where are you joining us from? Is it looks like the facility, or do you just have the giant Iowa logo in your house?
Yeah, thank you for having me on. No, I wish I had this, this what we call blackboard in my apartment, but I do not because it's probably too expensive for me. But I am in the baseball facility right now.
Okay, so we're back on campus.
Yes.
How long have you been on campus?
I moved in yesterday.
Oh, so perfect. Wow.
August 13th. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. New place or stay in the same spot?
Same street, new apartment complex.
Oh, you just went down the street?
Yes.
Were you like in a hard negotiating deal where like, hey, I'm going to steal your house next year?
No. So actually one of my teammates, his uncle owns the apartment complex that I'm in right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just thought it'd be better to know the person who owns it instead of just going through the city of Iowa City.
No, that makes a ton of sense. No, it's a absolute mess. trying to negotiate that in like October. It's a total nightmare. Living with guys on the team, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yes. So I'm living with Aaron Savory. He's a sophomore pitcher. And then Davis Kopp. He is a transfer. Not really sure his grade yet. I haven't officially met him, but he's from the University of Utah.
Have you? So you haven't met this guy?
Have not. Not yet.
No. Have you like talked to him on the phone, or is this just total like, are you could be just getting catfished?
We know he's not a catfish because he moved his stuff already.
Okay. But he's a real person. Very good.
Yeah. I've not met him in person yet.
Okay, interesting. Well, it's happy to see you're back on campus. I do want to get into this last season. Very huge year for Iowa baseball, turning to the tournament first time in the past 6 years. Was there a moment in the offseason, kind of building up to the season, where you could sense that this team was going to be more successful than others?
Yes. And it all started when we had an inter-squad scrimmage that we had to move the snow out of the way.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So our field is turf, and so we can play on it basically anytime that it's open.
Right.
And so we moved all the snow off to the side. We had a screen right behind home plate, and like the umpires actually showed up that day. So we're all just like, all right, let's go. Let's get to work. And that went really good.
Really?
And ever since then, guys are kind of just like, oh yeah, like, if we can get through that, we can get through 35 degrees anytime. So that kind of started it. And that was when I kind of started noticing like, oh, we have something here.
Okay.
But at the same time, our coaching staff goes through the same thing every single day where it's just like, we're going to show up and we're going to work our butts off.
Yeah. Was there anyone in like the preseason scrimmages that was really like popping off? You were like, this is going to be a huge year for so-and-so.
Kind of everybody.
Every single person.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Usually you have your one super dominant pitcher. Probably going to be Brody Breck because he throws 100 and some odd. But, you know, our hitters kind of told him that he's not going to be good against us this year.
Really?
It was super weird. Of course, baseball plays out and, you know, Brody strikes out 7 guys in a row or something like that. Yeah. But like, guys weren't mad at it at all. They're just like, okay, he's going to strike us out, but next time I'm going to get him.
How beneficial is that in practice when you have a guy who throws 105 you can go up against consistently?
It's amazing. We have the best pitching staff in America. So if we can hit our guys, we can hit anybody's.
Interesting. That's our mindset. So, and this is about you, but with Brody, when he's last season around the clubhouse when you're in the dugout. As teammates, were you guys ever just like bumping them, being like, "Hey, this, let's cut this football thing out. Let's focus here."
I tried telling him that in high school, because I played against him in the Des Moines area. But yeah. I mean, I didn't know him super well. I wasn't that guy who was going to be like, "Hey, don't play football. Like, right, you have something special in your right arm." Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was kind of his decision in the first place. So I wasn't going to step on anybody's toes or do anything like that, but yeah, very glad that you gave it up.
Yeah, I'm sure. And us fans are as well. So continuing on the lines of the season, though, obviously going to the NCAA tournament is a huge deal. I want to know your personal thoughts. How dumb is it that you guys have to play two games in one day at high level Division I ball in the postseason?
Makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's personally dumb at all, because if you win, you have an advantage automatically. Right. So winning those first two games sets you up for the next three. But okay, if you lose the first one or lose the second one, then you're the comeback kid. So you're the underdogs in that situation.
Right.
But did it suck to play the 13, 14 in a game and then have to come back and play nine more? Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. That was very bad.
Yeah. Even if you're just playing the infield, how much do you feel the wear and tear playing 20 innings in one day?
To be honest, I didn't play that first game until like the 12th inning.
Okay.
I was going through a slump, and you know what was best for the team was to put someone else in there for me. But even just not playing 12 innings, it had a huge wear and tear on my body, and I barely played.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. So going back though, earlier in the season, obviously a huge moment is beating LSU, then taking off the number one team of the country by a lot, by the way. I feel like people bring up, you guys beat LSU. We also forget that the score was not close. It was by a lot of points.
Yeah.
Where does this rank in terms of, you think, your accomplishments so far at Iowa?
I think that ranks number two. So number two. My first accomplishment coming into college was to play a significant amount of innings as a freshman, which mm-hmm. I did. I was very lucky. But this was definitely number two.
Okay.
Because after you get over your first goal, you're not really sure what the next one is until it just pops up. Hey, we're playing the number one ranked team in America. It has three, maybe four first round draft picks, which they ended up being first round draft picks, and we took care of business.
Did the team take it personally at all afterwards, where you guys beat them and they still stayed number one? Because I took it personally myself.
I think we took it more personal that we weren't ranked after that.
Okay.
Because, you know, we knocked off the big dogs. Yes, we went 2-1 in that tournament, but in our eyes, we're just like, we've already beat a significant amount of good teams. Like, although it's our ninth game of the year or something like that, like we've had a good resume up until then, and then we're just not getting rewarded with it. So that was another significant moment where we kind of turned it up after that.
In terms of your personal game, I was doing a little research on you, and I read an article where they described you as a throwback ball player, which is, I think, one of the cool, like, I don't even know what 100% that means, but I think it's one of the cooler things you can tagline someone as, a throwback ball player. But I want to know, what do you think about your game makes people say that?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is I don't wear batting gloves.
I had that written down. It's a little strange, if I'm being honest. Why do you do that?
I've just never been able to hit with batting gloves. It's just something in me that I love the grip of the bat. I love to feel that more than just holding like a leather on my hands. It's super weird. I don't know. I tried it my freshman year wearing batting gloves, and I just couldn't do it. I don't know.
What about that? There's always those kids in Little League or whatever who go up there and he's wearing like oven mitts. Have you ever tried something like unconventional?
I do wear oven mitts, but we call those sliding mitts. So when we run on the bases,
Okay, no, but what is the specific Little League kid? What was he wearing? Was it like they're like construction gloves or something, or like
Construction
yard
glove.
work? No, what are the chances we see you walk out there with those? Change it up a little bit.
To be honest, better than me wearing batting gloves.
Really? You just like them that much? Or what about maybe like we get you out there in like wide receiver gloves a little bit? You can like
That might.
flash up the.
Okay, I think we got something there.
You think so?
Got something with that.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember like making the like when was the last time you think you wore batting gloves?
I can tell you the exact day.
Really? Okay.
My
Do it. Go
freshman year
ahead.
against Washington State.
Oh, so this is a fairly recent change. Did like Coach Elliott tell you like no, you have to at least try wearing batting gloves when you got to campus?
No, they gave me one and it was the first day that we played in rain and I
Okay.
couldn't hold on to the bat. So I tried it for one at bat and I we did terrible. So I'm just like, nope, gotta go back to my old ways. So I went back to no batting gloves.
Fair enough. Does any other player on the team do this, or do they all kind of look at you like we just let him do what he needs to do?
I don't think they give me any weird looks or anything like that. I mean, unless I say something really stupid, then they give me weird looks. But besides that, I think that's just how I am. They're just, all right, he doesn't wear batting gloves. Doesn't really make sense to me, but he does it. So.
So, during the season two, they put you at a lot of different positions. I love that it's in baseball the utility player. That's awesome. It's like I just do everything. It's like whatever coach needs. How early in advance do you know that you're getting moved around? Is it like, hey, you're about to try and feel like actually you're going to second base today, or is it like we're working up to it in practice?
I think it kind of just depends on the situation. My freshman year, I played third, I played second, but at the same time, they were trying to find a way to keep me in the lineup. So 2 days before one of our series, I don't remember which one, but they said we're gonna try you in the outfield. Okay, we know that you're a utility, so we're just going to see how you work. You're going to work these next 2 days in the outfield. Most important part about the outfield, just catch fly balls. That's all we care about. Get the outs when you can. But we need to do this to get your bat in the lineup. Okay, you've been on fire recently. We need to try whatever we can. So kind of all builds off of that. After my freshman year, going into my freshman year summer of summer ball, they said we want you to start catching, see if that's another possibility. So since then I've been working on catching.
Okay.
I've made tremendous strides up to this point
Yeah.
with help of upperclassmen, of course.
Okay.
But I that it's kind of the next thing on my resume. I played first base this summer, never
Okay.
played first in my life, but I lied and I'm just like, yeah, I play there all the time.
Awesome.
So,
When you get
just
moved to when was the last time you had played catcher before then?
junior year of high school.
Oh, so not that long ago. Okay. Was there
But
any change, like position change, where you're like, are you sure about that, coach?
to be honest, no, I've always been just that guy to go everywhere.
Okay.
When I was growing up, and they had pitch counts at 8U, I threw 3 innings on the mound and then I caught 3 innings that game. Only 6-inning games that game. And then next game I was in center field for four and then shortstop for two. Like I was just bouncing around all the time.
Awesome, man. Yeah, so I like that a lot to hear. That's the perfect answer. It's like I can play any position. There's no doubt that I can't do anything. I like that. For you personally, I saw that you also were second on the team in walks at one point. What's the key to tricking a pitcher into walking you?
I don't know. If I knew that trick, I would do it every single time and I would hit zero, but have an on-base percentage of a million or whatever it is. But I don't like, I was joking with a bunch of my buddies last year where the pitchers look at me and all of a sudden they just want to throw four straight balls out of the zone. They're just like, we just want a four pitch walk you every time. And I don't know what it is. I think it was like averaging a four pitch walk every second game
Really?
every time. I don't know what it was. It was very weird, but I've always been that guy. I usually don't swing at balls. I'm
See,
very patient.
I see the stats, and it's like crazy how much you're getting walked. And I'm thinking two things. It's like, this guy's either Barry Bonds, or he's that, again, we've brought up Little League way too many times, but it's that kid in Little League who's got his elbows on his knees, right, shorting up the strike zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not Barry Bonds. If I was Barry Bonds, I would not be here.
Okay.
But I just think that, the ball is really close to the strike zone. Maybe like we call them 50-50 balls. So they're either 50% strikes or 50% balls. Early in the count, I just take them. So half of that has to do with my approach in the box. And the other half is just my coach is just trusting that I will win the battle every time.
Okay.
So
yeah. How much is it? Do you think getting walked is like a skill that can be learned?
I think so. I think it is. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that go into my mind that I would kind of connect going back to making it a skill. Again, one of those would just be the approach in the box, and I mean the rest is just playing the game.
Yeah. So with Coach Heller, he is kind of I almost want to say like cult following amongst Iowa fans. Like it's not like he doesn't have quite the popularity as like Coach Ferentz, right? But he does have a very passionate fan base. What's something about Coach Heller that you think that these fans might not expect to know about him?
Where do I start? No, I'm just kidding. One thing about Coach Heller is that he will have a connection with anybody, right? So he's been around the game long enough. He's been around life long enough that he understands what a lot of people are going through, and he can connect on a one-on-one basis and stuff like that, which I think is really good for a head coach. But I also think that not many people know him personally, like his team does, which is, I think, is a good thing for a head coach of a big university like this.
Does he have any like the guys talk about Kirk a lot and like weird sayings? Is there anything that like you guys kind of repeat? It's like, oh, this is like a classic like Rick Heller line.
Most of the stuff is not repeatable.
not on here. We'll bleep it out.
Yeah, not on here. I'd rather not say.
Okay.
I'd rather not say. His office is right over there.
Okay.
I'd rather not say.
Yeah, why don't you knock on the door and let's ask him in person. Let's get the direct source.
I'll have him get his top five going.
Yeah. Yeah. Or how about this? So they love to do a big thing on here. The fans really love to hear Kirk Ferentz impressions. I don't think I've heard a Rick Heller impression before. Do you do a Rick Heller impression?
I do not, but if you ever just need a video of it, Mitch Wood. Okay.
Mitch Wood.
Yeah. Mitch Wood. He transferred out last year, I believe, after the fall, but he does a very good Rick Heller impersonation.
He's the guy to talk to about it.
He's the guy to talk to.
Like, if I just sent him a DM, like, hey, we need the Rick Heller impression, is he going to even respond?
I would say Ben Wilmus said you do the best impersonation, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
What about active players then?
I would say the rest of the active players usually don't.
No,
we're not really into that because we don't know if that's really crossing the border, crossing that line, or whatever.
Okay,
but we usually just don't. I don't know. This team's not really about stuff like that.
No, that makes sense.
We're kind of, let's just get our business done.
No, it makes sense. I like it. No, it's like we're not here to play games.
Yeah.
So I saw Matt Olson on the Braves had an interesting quote recently where he said he gets bored during the MLB season. Like, it's a lot of games. Sometimes it drags out. The NCAA season's a little bit shorter, obviously. But is there ever a time where it's like we're in like kind of the slow zone of the NCAA season?
Yeah, I would say for us, it would be our D3 NAIA midweeks.
Okay.
So we play one game series in a midweek, and it's usually against like Loris, Milwaukee, and then like others like D1, smaller D1 or NAIA schools. But I think most of the time that's where guys are more relaxed. Okay. So we lost against Loris our freshman year, my freshman year, excuse me. And I think that's just because we were very relaxed. We're just like, hey, they're D3. We're going to kill them. They ended up coming out and killing us. So ever since then, Coach Heller is kind of, hey, this is Loris week. We better pound them into the ground. So
now what's that like? I always wonder what that's like in the locker room afterwards. Is it like really quiet? Like not anyone wants to say anything, or what is the environment like?
It's very dry humor, if anything. Just like, hey guys, guess what? We just lost to Loris. Like kind of a shock in the system, but
yeah.
At the same time, you have to go back to class the next day knowing that you lost to Loris. Probably not going to learn a lot in that class because you're still mad that you lost to Loris. But yeah, it's just a weird feeling.
Yeah, how hard is it to about? Is it easy to snap back after that, like into like because like you guys still have huge big games on the schedule, right? Like you're playing the Big Ten. Like, is it easy to snap back?
You definitely go into a different mode. That's for sure.
Okay.
Because it is like a shock to the system, shock to your face, punch in the face, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we kind of turned it up a little bit there, and we kind of plateaued a little bit the rest of that freshman season for me. But yeah, I would say our focus is a lot better after that.
Would you shorten the schedule then at all? Would you make any changes to it? Like do you think like we don't need as many games? Would you add games? Would you change anything?
I would say the only thing that I would switch is the amount of games to get to the postseason. Okay. Ooh. So you have to play a certain amount of games to get to the postseason. And most of the time it's like high 40s. I think it's 48 actually. But you schedule 56, 58, however many, just to get to that number, because you're going to have your rain outs. You're going to have your snow outs like we did last year. But yeah, I think that's the only thing that I would change.
Do you like playing baseball in the snow at all?
I love it, to be honest.
There we go. There we go.
I love fall. Okay. Fall is my favorite season, but at the same time, I like playing baseball in like long sleeves or like thermals. Right.
Yeah.
So that it's weird. I don't know why, but I just feel like one, it's easier to keep weight on during the season.
Okay.
Weight's huge for college players, college athletes in any sport, but just the feeling of having like a tight long sleeve shirt on is my favorite thing in the world.
You know, the coldest game you've ever played in?
It would be this last year against South Dakota State. We actually had to play at a neutral site because it was snowing back in Iowa City and South Dakota State. It ended up snowing in the fourth inning, like hard snow. Couldn't see the ball.
Yeah.
And I want to say that it was 31 degrees.
Okay, that's not that bad. Like you being from Iowa and like playing baseball there for so long, I was expecting you to say like negative 10, genuinely.
Has to be over 20. It's like mid-20s feel.
Okay.
And it was right at that number, that game.
Where was the neutral site? Were you playing at like a local, like you playing at some elementary school?
Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's, I was expecting they like rolled up to like Iowa City West High School.
And no, it was Kansas City on turf. Yeah, it was poop shoot.
How late did you guys know that you're going to have to go to Kansas City?
The night before we were trying to figure it out. So we were all at home, you know, just played a game 2 days before, just got done practicing. We're just like, hey, we're going to have to play at a neutral site because it's supposed to winter storm here. And then their field is not turf. So we just have to find somewhere neutral. And luckily we found Kansas City. As we're warming up, it's like 52 degrees. We're just like, okay, it's a little windy, but that's fine. As soon as the first pitch was thrown, the temperature dropped. And we're just like, this is not going to be good. So, yeah.
Did anyone try and like roll out their like winter coat under the jersey?
We had a few sweatshirts under the jersey with the hoods out. Yeah.
Is that kind of like frowned upon at all? It's like, okay, this guy might be a little soft. Got the hoodie on.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Just a little bit.
we were all wearing parkas in the dugout. Like, we had those heaters on the sidelines of football games. We had those in the dugout, and yeah, it was a long nine innings.
Dude, I'd have like two Patagonias on. I can't stand it. I like, and this is my baseball career was not long, but like I remember hitting balls in the cold and that like rattle on the bat. Like, I can't imagine. Like, it's got to be brutal, especially you don't even wear batting gloves. Like, what does that even feel like?
I'm used to it by now.
You're just used to it. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious. I see in terms of baseball on my timeline a lot. I get a lot of those like Trevor Bauer videos of him doing weird warm-ups, kind of unorthodox stuff at UCLA. Does anyone on the team pregame, you kind of look over, maybe it's a ritual or like a weird kind of warm-up thing. You're like, I'm not really sure what's going on over there.
No, not really.
Everyone sticks to it? Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But I mean, us as a team are looked at pretty weird because once we're done doing our 15 minutes before the game, our shuffle run through the bag, we play imaginary football.
Yes.
We have a full like 10-on-10, like wide receivers going on all different directions, and we don't have a ball. We throw a fake ball to a fake receiver, and it is a touchdown every time. like we got a coach calling plays on the sideline, like X4. Like, it is unreal.
Who's got the best fake football stats?
Either Kyle Huxtorf or Michael Seegers.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time it goes to one of those two, because they're wide receivers, and they catch one in the end zone every time.
Who's the QB?
It was Keaton Anthony, and then after that, I don't remember who it was.
Where are you running out on the field? I could see you being like, maybe like, you strike me as maybe like slot receiver, I could see.
I'm a nose guard.
Nose guard? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, I didn't see that
going. I basically take two hard steps off the line, kind of let them block me so they get their touchdown. But every once in a while, I go hard and I get a sack.
Oh, every once in a while, you're like, we're not playing games anymore.
Yeah. and then they bitch and complain, like, hey, you have to let us score a touchdown. I'm like, no, we're switching it up today. We lost yesterday.
Is this a recent tradition that the baseball team does, or were they doing this before you got there?
We've done it for 2 years now, probably, but
okay.
I don't think it was before us at all.
Okay. But, do you remember so what's that like then when you try and introduce it? Like, it's like, hey, we're going to go out there and play fake football right now.
I think to introduce it, it was just like one-on-one drills. Like, it's a cornerback and it's a receiver and it's just a fake football. And then after that, we added a center. And then after that, I was nose guard and like stuff like that. But then it just turned into this whole 10-on-10 with the coach calling plays and our coaches are counting down the time clock, and
do you remember coach's first reaction to seeing it? Because obviously like football with no ball cannot be on the pre-sheet.
There were some choice words that day. but then we came out and scored like 12 runs, and he's just like, okay, don't lose.
Okay, so, yeah, we got to keep doing this now. So that's awesome. A big center point, I feel like, with in terms of the baseball debate, you know, I'm on Twitter. I like to mix it up a little bit. Pimping home runs, it's a big debate. Sometimes you get people who are really against it. How do you feel about doing a little pimping after sending one past the over the fence?
I think it's fine. It is okay because pitchers come off the mound after strikeouts, so it's like to end the inning, and they either stare you down or they like yell at you.
Okay,
so. If you're gonna give it out, you better be able to receive it.
Right. Does anyone have a big reputation of like, okay, this guy just hit it like 400 or whatever, right? It's gonna take them about 3 minutes to get around the bags.
I know my roommate, my freshman year, pimped one against Indiana when we were up by a lot.
Oh no!
And Sam Peterson, okay. He probably hit this ball to Carver, Hawkeye Arena. Like that far, we were already up by like 10 runs, but he took about 20 seconds to get out of the box.
Oh boy.
Like, that's probably no joke. He got yelled at it, but at the same time, our coach went up to him gave him a fist bump, and he's just like, way to hit it.
Like, okay.
Stuff like that. But yeah, no, if you give it out, you better be able to receive it.
When you see a guy on another team do it, is it like, okay, we're definitely going to, like, this guy's going to get a ball maybe close to the chest next time he's at bat, or like maybe we maybe if I tap him with my glove, it's going to be a little tougher next time?
Yeah, we're going to light him up. That's for sure. Yeah.
Do you remember any instances of that? Like of another team doing it, and you're like, this dude specifically is going to, he's going to have a terrible rest of his day.
I can specifically remember about like 7 or 8 of them, but we were hitting. So it was the pitcher, he struck out the side, whatever, and then he came off the mound and just yelled. Like,
really?
Yelled at our dugout, stared us down, and we're just like, all right, who does this guy think he is? Goes up, next inning, we just pound him every time. So
wow.
That's kind of our reputation on it, and like how we handle our business that way. It's like, hey, if you give it out, you better be able to receive it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of the dugout, is the Iowa dugout a big bubblegum crowd, or is it a big seats crowd?
So we can't choose seeds on our field.
Can't choose seeds. Okay.
Because it's turf field.
All right.
That's been our rule. We're not really a bubblegum. Like, some guys chew gum. I mean, some guys that are of age, they chew tobacco, but I mean, no, not really anything of each.
Nothing much. I knew a guy in high school. He would do seeds, but then he would also do Sour Patch Kids with them.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
I love that combo.
So this is a known thing.
I've tried it before, but
okay.
I mean, it's not like I go out of my way, hey, I need to get seeds from Come and Go, and at the same time, I'm going to buy Sour Patch Kids.
Right.
I've tried it. I have.
So this is like a known thing in the baseball community. I thought my friend was just delusional.
I think he is delusional, but that also makes me delusional at the same time, because yeah. I've tried it.
Well, I will say I've tried it as well, and I was quite shocked as to how it's not horrible. Like, it's not the worst thing ever.
It's no. Really not bad.
No,
what flavor seeds do you use, though?
I want to say I think I had the pepper, maybe. I want to say.
Like black pepper?
I think I had black pepper, I want to say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just had plain original.
Okay.
Because you get the sweet from the Sour Patch Kids, and then you just get the salt from the seeds. So it's kind of a good mix of both.
Interesting. Were you ever a big seeds guy?
Not really.
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
What about like Big League Chew?
Yes. Yes. Growing up, I was a big League Chew guy.
Okay. Yeah. No, looking back on Big League Chew, I remember like going to like Sports Authority or like Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, get a little pack, and then like you look back on now, it's like that was a dip for children.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit NIL. All right, you're in the best time ever to be a college athlete. How are we approaching NIL currently?
NIL is very tough for us right now as baseball players, because baseball isn't a very money-happy sport, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, for instance, we don't get a lot of money coming in, and we spend a lot of money. That being said, it is harder to get NIL deals as a college baseball player than it is, let's say, basketball or football. So that is just because games don't get streamed a lot. So on the Big Ten Network, they only play one series at a time usually. And there is going to be, what now, 16 teams in the Big Ten?
I think it's 18.
Well, really?
Are you counting – like, are you counting like 2024 coming in?
Yes.
18.
Yeah. So that is just because I think it doesn't get a lot of recognition.
Okay.
So the LSU game, for instance, if you weren't an Iowa or LSU fan, you didn't hear about us winning. So the recognition in the media behind college baseball is very bad.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I want to almost provide this as an opportunity to like promote your personality a little bit to NIL.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you cut your hair. I was going to suggest like maybe we get like a Head and Shoulders potentially going on. Maybe Old Spice. Oh, it's a little bit of a mullet going on here.
It is.
A little bit. No, that was, I can't believe you're containing that beautiful, beautiful mane of yours there. What kind of, like, if we're talking, like, let's use this as a chance. Like, a lot of people, there might be some big investors listening to this. All right. What's put your personality out there. Which ones are you like, I'm Ben Wellness. I'm signing that this is the best.
The best NIL deal.
This is just like what I'm accepting this. Like Ben Wellness, I sponsor Poncheros.
Yes. That is my favorite restaurant of all time.
That's the best one.
Because the original Poncheros is in Johnston, where I grew up.
Really?
And yesterday I moved in to my apartment and I had Poncheros before I left town.
Okay.
I was the first person there at Poncheros at 10:45 because that's when they open up every day.
10:45. That's way too early for Poncheros.
It's also very specific, and that's why I love it so much.
how are you at the point now where you're at Poncheros so much they're like, oh, hey, Ben, like, you don't even got to order. We know your order.
Mm-hmm. They ask if I want a burrito with chips and queso or a burrito with my cheese quesadilla and extra queso.
Okay.
They're to a point where I'm good friends with Luis, who owns the restaurant.
is it in the downtown one or
just Johnston?
Johnston, sorry.
The one at Johnston. Yeah.
Okay. That's the original one. Interesting. Yeah. It's weird when you get to, so I'm not from Iowa originally, I'm from Colorado. And like, I had really never heard of Poncheros before I got into campus. It's like, my natural go-to is like Chipotle because it's everywhere, right? But like the people of Iowa love Poncheros.
Yeah. If you are in the Iowa City area, the best Poncheros that is closest to the original is the one in Crowellville.
Okay.
And that's hands down closest.
That's funny you say that because one of the walk-ons, Drake, he is very adamant that if you're wasting your time at the downtown one, just go to Crowellville.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. I guess I'm just I'm a novice when it comes to Poncheros. I don't know the game like that. Fair enough. So no, just Poncheros is the only NIL you would ask for.
That'd be the first one. After that, it'd be like Reign energy drinks.
Dude, how good are Reigns?
They're very good. What's your favorite flavor? That's the next question.
Well, you're flipping the table on me here. I
came prepared a little bit.
Oh, you came prepared. I will say my go-to is the Orange Dream Skull.
Okay.
That one's outstanding. I say all the time, Rain needs to stop messing around with putting caffeine in them because I can only have one of them a day or else I'll have a heart attack. Like, let's get the caffeine free one so I can just sip them casually.
Yeah.
What about you? What's the best Rain?
It depends. If I'm working out that day, no games involved, I am Rainbow Sherbert.
Interesting. That's a new flavor.
Newer flavor, yes. It's my favorite. But if it's a game day, white gummy bear.
Good choice.
It tastes exactly like a white gummy bear. That's my favorite part.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Is Rain the best energy drink in your opinion?
That's just the first one that I got on. Because it's not super healthy, no, but it is the healthiest out of most energy drinks.
Okay. What's like your caffeine consumption looking like?
One.
Just one? Okay.
Just one.
It's still 300 milligrams. Yeah. It's still a lot.
If I'm looking to go super hard that day, I'm having exactly one. But if it's like before a game, I'm doing 3/4.
Okay.
Leaving another 1/4 for someone else on the team.
Fair enough. Is it, is that ever a thing where it's like you're, I mean, 300 is still a lot. Like you ever like go out there, it's like, wow, it's too much. I'm a little shaky now holding the bat.
This is going to sound bad, but I think I'm used to drinking one at least a day. So it sounds really bad, but as of recently, I've been keeping it to only the days that I work out.
So one a day is still, I mean, it's crazy it sounds crazy, but like I feel you on that where it's like eventually you're just like, I mean, I need the, like, this ain't enough.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I keep it towards the middle of the day as well. Because if I do it too early in the morning, I'm going to crash and my heart just races out of my mind in the morning. But if I eat it with like my second meal of the day, then it's good.
Okay. Well, this is what you got to do. I mean, this is as you're, and now this is, I'm saying this now, I'm hiring myself as your marketer. You got to get on the TikTok. All right. And you just got to be doing a million energy drink reviews.
Okay.
NIL starts flowing in. All right. I'll throw it out there. I get 10% for the idea.
That's negotiable. Okay.
I get 10%, but you got to hop on this train, man.
Yeah.
You can be the face of Rain.
I could.
Yeah, they'll throw
I've
you on
already
a can.
Reached out and they didn't reply. So
would you write them a letter?
Instagram.
A DM? Oh, dude.
Instagram, and I emailed them.
There's some like rat intern like me on the other side of that Instagram. Like you're not emailing the CEO. Like we got to get direct to the source, right? We're going to get you on the reins as well. Do you have I have some of them that I do have a least favorite. Do you have a least favorite rain?
Yeah, you're going to be very mad at what I'm going to say.
If you say orange, this interview might be over.
I won't say it then.
Is it orange?
It's.
Oh, really? Have you tried the tropical, like new one at all?
I have.
And you
That's
like it
my
more?
Second least. Second least favorite.
This is the most degenerate conversation I think that's happened on an interview in a while. Just breaking down reins. I love them though, man.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of them. Do you venture out to other ones ever?
No, not anymore.
You're a loyal man. See, Rain, get this. Loyal. Call this guy.
Yeah.
Call this guy, Rain. Yeah, the Rain CEO is actually a big fan of this podcast, so I'm sure they'll reach out. Yeah, no, they'll definitely be on there as well.
Okay.
I'm curious as well. When so much of your life is baseball, right? Like consuming a lot of your time, I'm sure in the off season as well. Do you still enjoy watching the MLB at all? Do you have time even to watch MLB?
I do. I do have time, but like college baseball, the media and games that are on are slim to none these days because you have to buy a subscription or a membership or stuff like that, which I'm not going to go out and do when I can't watch half the games anyways. But baseball is beginning to become a non-media sport. And I don't know why that is, because most of everybody, they share their commitments on Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that. But as soon as you get to the college level, no TV or like Instagram, Twitter, anything is pretty much out there. Like it's just not out there at all. And it gets worse once you go to the pros. It's weird. It's hard to explain, and I'm very frustrated about it.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Do you have a team? Who's your team?
St. Louis Cardinals.
Cardinals. Dude. All right. I'm a Rockies guy personally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't love you guys taking, I'm still a little upset you guys took Arenado from us, but, so it is a little personal, but Cardinals, I mean, it's a tough year this year for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Is it just losing Pujols, or?
I don't think there's enough veterans on the team. We're too young.
Okay.
And the veterans didn't come up through St. Louis. So like Arenado, for instance, and Paul Goldschmidt, they didn't come up through St. Louis. And I mean, although they're there now, they didn't really learn how to be ride or die with the St. Louis Cardinals once they got there.
Okay.
Not like if they were going to commit to a college team and they're just like, oh, freshman year, ride or die for this team. It's hard to explain.
No, it's tough. I mean, you're welcoming to my world. I mean, like teams below 500. It's just this is what it's like, man. It's just you got to just. It seems unexplainable. We have to just wallow in it. All right, this is life now.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad the other day. I'm like, hey, Cardinals finally won one in a while.
Yeah,
like it's like winning the lottery if they win this year. Hard to explain.
Yeah, baseball is tough too. When your team stinks in baseball, it's tough because there's so many games. Like the schedule just gets insulting. It's like, wow, we're 40 games back from first place. Like this is getting out of hand. Like can we just cancel the season? This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. It's bad.
No, it's tough. Do you think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes and no. Yes and no. One reason why I say yes is because it is very hard for a human or humanoid in his case to hit that many home runs. Two, he broke the rules and barely got a punishment for it. Okay, so he opened up a gate of bending the rules for the next generation, which is things we see today at every level. I'm not going to name names and anything like that, but
you can just cut this out. So you say it and then we'll just like bleep over it.
I'm not talking about steroids. I'm just talking about bending the rules and getting away from certain stuff.
What if I say it? Is there spider tech? Is that back at the system or pine tar?
Yeah, that's going to be around the game forever.
Okay.
Are
you pro spider tech?
I am when you throw 97. Because I'd rather be able to hold on to the ball instead of having it come towards my head.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I'm pro. I think in baseball, I'm pro steroids, spider tech, whatever you want. I want guys to hit it as hard as they can. And I want guys to throw it as hard as they can.
Yeah, I think I am too. It's just we haven't experienced that way of baseball yet.
Okay,
not fully,
but a little bit.
We understand what Barry Bonds can do when he adds 40 pounds of illegal muscle to his body.
What do you think about Shohei? Obviously, I mean, is it too early to call him the greatest baseball player of all time? No, no, he's already the GOAT.
He is already the greatest of all time.
He's never played in a playoff game.
Doesn't matter. The argument that I always have about the greatest of all time is Mike Trout has only played in a few playoff games, but how many playoff games are played a year by one team?
Is this trivia? Oh, by one team? Like hopefully one.
Okay, so excuse me. If you make it all the way to the World Series, you can play about like 20 games, right?
Okay.
Regular season, you play 162 every year. And he always is the greatest player every season. And so that's why I said Mike Trout was the greatest of all time. But now it's Shohei Ohtani.
So do you think it's at all weird that LA has not only Mike Trout and both Shohei, but as of right now, August of 2023, they have like really nothing to show for it?
I do think it's weird, but I also understand it because baseball is not a one-person game.
Is it a two-person game?
No. No. You have to have nine guys on the field that are very much above average for the league to be able to be successful. And at the same time, you also have to have the baseball gods on your side, which nobody can control.
Fair enough. Do you think Shohei needs to get out of LA at all? I mean, he's obviously staying with the team now that passed the trade deadline. But were you at all looking for like, oh, I think he should like head to the Dodgers. He should head somewhere else.
That I don't know because I compare him a lot to Kobe.
Really?
Yeah, because Kobe was in a Lakers uniform the whole time.
Okay.
So everybody around the world likes seeing Kobe's jersey or Kobe's Laker jersey, excuse me. I think it'll be the exact same with Shohei, that everyone's just like, he's an angel.
Okay. Is Kobe your GOAT for basketball then? If you're comparing him to Shohei?
GOAT of all time?
Well, yeah, I mean, you said Shohei's the GOAT, and you're like, I compare him to Kobe.
No, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, if this is you're already crossing the line with the Orange Dream School. But if I found out you were all in on LeBron being the GOAT, this might have been a short interview.
No, I say that there are three people fighting for second place.
Okay,
and one of them is completely different. One of them is LeBron. Okay. One of them is Kobe. And the other one is Shaq, just because how dominant he was.
Is Shaq.
Shaq.
Interesting. No, I don't hear Shaq a ton in the two spot, but I respect it.
Yeah.
No,
no one's ever seen his dominance before.
Have you heard of Nikola Jokic?
I have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Denver guy. I'm biased, so I mean, he's like he single handedly has saved me myself. But and with baseball, MLB has made a lot of changes, obviously, with the pitch clock and then like the bigger bases for some reason. Do you want to see any of those implemented into the college game?
Pitch clock is already there at the college game.
You guys have a pitch clock?
Yeah.
Since when?
For this year, would actually been the first.
I'm a moron. I had no idea.
So we actually do 20 seconds. So 20 seconds to get the pitch delivered, but the batter has to be in the box by 10 seconds.
Okay.
And the only reason why it's longer than MLB 16 is because as hitters, you get more signs from your coach.
Okay.
In the MLB, usually no signs from the coach or the dugout, but I mean, college, you get one every pitch.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. What about the bigger bases? I thought that was a pretty weird move, personally. I was never, I mean, I understand why pitch clock was in there, right? But I was never sitting at home being like, you know what? I wish these bases were about a half inch bigger.
Yeah.
Can you explain maybe for like a casual baseball guy like me why they made this change? Or do you even know?
So the main reason is because of all the collisions that go on. So runner bunted a ball and he's running to first base. Most of the time they will run into the first baseman with these smaller bags. So the bigger bags are meant to, one, safety of the players, because that's all that they're trying to do these days is just make sure everybody's safe and kind of, in my eyes, go away from the game of baseball a little bit. But at the same time, the bigger bases also open up more steals. So base running is a big thing that the MLB has missed over the past 20 years, just because catchers are getting so good and defenders are just unbelievable these days. But allowing a guy that wouldn't steal with small bases to actually have a shot with bigger bases is what they were trying to go to. And I think this is the first step to getting to like real elite base stealers. If
really?
That makes any sense. Yes.
Just that little difference is going to make, it's going to be have a huge impact.
It does, because you don't have to run 90 feet anymore. All you have to run is 86 or so feet.
Interesting.
Like it cuts down a significant amount, but yeah, I think it's going to open up a lot for base running.
All right. Do you think that that's a big, do you think it'll kind of open up your, it will impact your game at all personally?
I think it will. But college also hasn't implemented the bigger bases yet.
Right.
So I just don't know personally how that would affect it.
Okay.
Makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so this is, Ben, this has been fantastic. Really enjoyed talking to you. But this will be my last question here, or it's more of a deal, perhaps. What does a guy like me have to do to pick your walk-up song for this year?
You can request any song that you want. It's just whether or not that I will choose it.
Okay. So I have three that I'd like to pitch to you right now. Can't play any of them because it'll get taken down. But first one, Who Let the Dogs Out? Baha Men.
That's a good one. Okay.
All right. Two, Higher by Creed.
That was on my list.
It's actually on your list.
It was on my list.
Are you a Creed guy?
I like a few of Creed's songs.
Okay. There we go. See, you're winning me over. You're winning the fans over by liking Creed.
Okay.
Third one, I Found a Way. Drake Bell, the Drake and Josh theme song.
No.
No. not a Drake and Josh guy?
That's not happening.
Okay. What was your walk-up song this year?
It was the same one since I've grown up. If I were to pick a walk-up song when I was 8 years old, it'd be exactly what I have now. So it is Flower by Moby.
Okay.
Nobody knows it by its title. They know it by high school lifting programs.
Okay.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I will play it for you right here.
Oh, you might have to do, you might have to do acapella so we don't get taken down off YouTube.
Okay. So it is Bring Sally Up, Bring Sally Down.
That's really?
Yes.
Okay.
Ever since then, that song just clicks in my mind and I'm ready to go.
So if you had to do a percent chance that I can convince you to change your walk-up song to Who Let the Dogs Out, give me a number.
One.
Okay, that's not zero. All right, what kind of deal do I have to broker with you here? Do we need to play some kind of bet? What do we got to do?
I don't know, because I have two little nieces and one of them is 4 years old, and I told her once I'm ready, I'll let you pick my walk-up song for one game.
Okay.
Okay. So it could be anything from very young, like Baby Shark type beat to Cinderella or something like that. But it's most likely going to happen this year, that one game she will pick my walk-up song.
What, you think it's going to be like Cinderella music?
I don't know. She's into Frozen right now, so I don't know.
Oh, but you're going to get what is it? Let It Go. You're going to get that.
Might.
That's the betting odds. That's like -1,000. What do you mean?
I mean, it's better than the Drake and Josh theme song. But
no, that's gold. You know that's gold. You know that's a good song. You know, you like it or not, you know the words. The whole stadium is going to sing along.
Yeah.
Were you not a Drake and Josh guy?
I was. I don't remember it fully, but I do remember the show.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Well, Ben, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. You're going to have to come back. We might have to have you back on. You're going to have to talk a little baseball with us potentially during the season.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you.
Yeah. Or next time me and Bailey can come at the same time.
Ooh, okay. Maybe a little double episode for sure. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ben, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.